Chapter 9. Dr. Lanyon's Account. Once safely home, Mr. Utterson opened the envelope and read the letter in his safe that Dr. Lanyon had given him. On the 9th of January, now 4 days ago, I received a letter from my old school friend, Henry Jekyll. I was a good deal surprised by the formality of it. I had seen the man and dined with him the night before, and I could not imagine why he was addressing me so formally. The contents increased my wonder, for this is what the letter said. December 10th. Dear Lanyon, you are one of my oldest friends. Although we have disagreed at times on scientific questions, I believe these differences have not affected our friendship. If you ever needed me, I would have been there for you. Now, Lanyon, I am asking you to be there for me. Please come straight to my house. Poole, the butler, will be waiting for you with a locksmith. He will force the lock on my office door. Please go into my office alone. Look in the fourth drawer of my desk. It contains a container, a book, and duck, and some salts. Please carry this drawer with you to your home at Cavendish Square exactly as it stands. Next, I have another task for you. If you set out at once, you should be back before midnight. At midnight, a man will come to your house saying that he is me. Please give him the drawer that you got from my office. 5 minutes later, if you would like an explanation, you will understand why this is so important. If you decide not to help, you will be responsible for my death or my madness. But if you do help, which I am sure you will, my troubles will roll away like a story that is told. Serve me, my dear Lanyon, and save me. Your friend, H.J. After reading this letter, I was sure the doctor was insane, but until that was proven, I felt I had to do as he asked. I followed his instructions precisely. What I found in the drawer was a simple white salt, a container of some red concoction with a strong smell, and a book with a list of dates and some notes. The dates covered a period of many years, but stopped nearly a year ago. The notes were brief, such as double or total failure. I could not understand the importance of these items. How could they affect the doctor's honor, his sanity, or his life? The more I thought about it, the more convinced I was that the doctor had gone mad. It was barely 12 o'clock when I heard a gentle knock at the door. A small man was standing there on the porch when I answered the door. I asked if Dr. Jekyll had sent him. He told me yes in a forced way and looked behind him nervously. There was a policeman not far off coming towards us, and the visitor quickly came in. All of this naturally made me uncomfortable, and I remained guarded. We went into a brightly lit room, and I finally got a good look at him. I had never seen him before, but he disgusted me. There was something about him that made my pulse drop. He was dressed in fine clothes that were far too big for him, which would have made me laugh, but there was something so terrible about him that I found nothing funny in it. Rather, as there was something strange and improper in the very essence of the creature that now faced me, the ill-fitting clothes seemed to suit it. I grew curious about the man's nature and character, as well as his origins, his life, and his place in the world. Fiercely he cried, "Have you got it? Have you got it?" He was so impatient that he even laid his hand upon my arm and began to shake me. I pushed him back, noticing that his touch made my blood run cold. "Come, sir," said I, "you forget that we have never before met. Sit down, if you please." My visitor collected himself and said, "I beg your pardon, Dr. Lanyon. You make a good point. In my impatience, I have forgotten my manners. But please remember that your friend, Dr. Henry Jekyll, sent me here on an urgent matter. I understood..." He paused and put his hand to his throat. I could see that he was wrestling against the approach of madness. "I understood. A drawer." But here I took pity on my visitor, partly owing to my own growing curiosity. "There it is, sir," I said, pointing to the drawer, where it lay on the floor behind a table covered with the sheet. He ran to it, and then paused and laid his hand upon his heart. The look on his face was so distressing to see that I grew alarmed both for his life and reason. "Compose yourself," said I. He turned an awful smile to me and pulled away the sheet. Seeing what was inside, he let out a sound of such relief that I sat there terrified. And the next moment, in a voice that was already fairly well under control, "Do you have a glass container?" he asked. I rose from my place and gave him what he asked. He thanked me with a smiling nod and made his concoction. The mixture, which was at first of a reddish hue, began to brighten in color. I could hear it begin to bubble, and I smelled a strong vapor. Suddenly, and at the same moment, the bubbling stopped, and the mixture changed to dark purple, which then faded to watery green. My visitor smiled, put down the glass, and turned to me. "And now," he said, "will you allow me to leave your house with this glass in my hand without any questions? Or are you too curious? Think before you answer, because it is up to you. I can leave now, and you will be neither richer nor wiser, but you'll know that you helped a man in distress. Or, if you prefer, you can watch me drink it. You will be witness to a new kind of knowledge, and you'll be amazed by the sight." I replied, "Sir, I have come too far in this strange adventure to leave it now without an explanation." My visitor looked searchingly at me and said, "As you wish. Lanyon, this falls under the seal of our profession, and you must maintain confidentiality. And now, you who have so long held the most narrow and material views, behold!" He put the glass to his lips and drank the contents at once. A cry followed, and he stumbled around, reaching for something to hold on to. Then there was a change. He seemed to swell. His face became suddenly black. The features seemed to fade. And then, in the next moment, I sprang to my feet and leaped back against the desk, my arm raised to protect me from that wonder. There, before my eyes, stood Henry Jekyll. What he told me in the next hour, I cannot bring myself to write. I saw what I saw, I heard what I heard, and my soul sickened at it. My life is shaken to its foundation. I feel that my days are numbered, and that I must die. I will say but one thing, Utterson, and that will be more than enough. The creature who crept into my house that night was, on Jekyll's own confession, known by the name of Hyde, and was hunted for in every corner of the land as the murderer of Carew.